When he says one, he says something which is known, and secondly something which is other than all other things. It makes no difference whether he predicate of one being or not being, for that which is said not to be is known to be something all the same, and is distinguished from other things.
Certainly.
Then I will begin again, and ask, if one is not, what are the consequences? In the first place, as would appear, there is a knowledge of it, or the very meaning of the words, if one is not, would not be known.
True.
Secondly, the others differ from it, or it could not be described as different from the others.
Certainly.
Difference, then, belongs to it as well as knowledge, for in speaking of the one as different from the others, we do not speak of a difference in the others, but in the one.
Clearly so.
Moreover, the one that is not is something, and partakes of relation to that, and this, and these, and the like, and is an attribute of this. For the one, or the others than the one, could not have been spoken of, nor could any attribute, or relative of the one that is not have been, or been spoken of, nor could it have been said to be anything, if it did not partake of some, or of the other relations just now mentioned.
True.
Being, then, cannot be ascribed to the one, since it is not it, but the one that is not may, or rather must participate in many things, if it and nothing else is not. If, however, neither the one nor the one that is not is supposed not to be, and we are speaking of something of a different nature, we can't predicate nothing of it, but supposing that the one that is not and nothing else is not, then it must participate in the predicate that, and in many others.
Certainly.
And it will have unlikeness in relation to the others, for the others being different from the one will be of a different kind.
Certainly.
And are not things of a different kind also other in kind?
Of course.
And are not things other in kind, unlike?
They are unlike.
And if they are unlike the one, that which they are unlike will clearly be unlike them.
Clearly so.
Then the one will have unlikeness in respect of which the others are unlike it.
That would seem to be true.
And if unlikeness to other things is attributed to it, it must have likeness to itself.
How so?
If the one have unlikeness to one, something else must be meant, nor will the hypothesis relate to one, but it will relate to something other than one.
Quite so.
But that cannot be.
No.
Then the one must have likeness to itself.
It must.
Again, it is not equal to the others, for if it were equal, then it would at once be, and be like them in virtue of the equality. But if one has no being, then it can neither be, nor be like.
It cannot.
But since it is not equal to the others, neither can the others be equal to it.
Certainly not.
And things that are not equal are unequal.
True.
And they are unequal to an unequal.
Of course.
Then the one partakes of inequality, and in respect of this the others are unequal to it.
Very true.
And inequality implies greatness and smallness.
Yes.
Then the one, if of such a nature, has greatness and smallness.
That appears to be true.
And greatness and smallness always stand apart.
True.
Then there is always something between them.
There is.
And can you think of anything else which is between them other than equality?
No, it is equality which lies between them.
Then that which has greatness and smallness also has equality which lies between them.
That is clear.
Then the one, which is not, partakes, as would appear, of greatness and smallness and equality.
Clearly.
Further, it must surely in a sort partake of being.
How so?
It must be so, for if not, then we should not speak the truth in saying that the one is not. But, if we speak the truth, clearly we must say what is. Am I not right?
Yes.
And since we affirm that we speak truly, we must also affirm that we say what is.
Certainly.
Then, as would appear, the one, when it is not, is, for if it were not to be when it is not, but were to relinquish something of being, so as to become not being, it would at once be.
Quite true.
Then the one which is not, if it is to maintain itself, must have the being of not being, as the bond of not being, just as being must have, as a bond, the not being of not being in order to perfect its own being. For the truest assertion of the being of being and of the not being of not being is when being partakes of the being of being, and not of the being of not being, that is, the perfection of being. And when not being does not partake of the not being of not being, but of the being of not being, that is the perfection of not being.
Most true.
Since then what is partakes of not being, and what is not of being, must not the one also partake of being in order not to be?
Certainly.
Then the one, if it is not, clearly has being.
Clearly.
And has not being also, if it is not.
Of course.
But can anything which is in a certain state not be in that state without changing?
Impossible.
Then everything which is, and is not in a certain state, implies change.
Certainly.
And change is motion, we may say that.
Yes, motion.
And the one has been proved both to be and not to be.
Yes.
And therefore is, and is not in the same state.
Yes.
Thus the one that is not has been shown to have motion also, because it changes from being to not being.
That appears to be true.
But surely if it is nowhere among which is, as is the fact, since it is not, it cannot change from one place to another.
Impossible.
Then it cannot move by changing place.
No.
Nor can it turn on the same spot, for it nowhere touches the same, for the same is, and that which is not cannot be reckoned among things that are.
It cannot.
Then the one, if it is not, cannot turn in that in which it is not.
No.
Neither can the one, whether it is or is not, be altered into other than itself, for if it altered and became different from itself, then we could not be still speaking of the one, but of something else.
True.
But if the one neither suffers alteration, nor turns round in the same place, nor changes place, can it still be capable of motion?
Impossible.
Now that which is unmoved must surely be at rest, and that which is at rest must stand still.
Certainly.
Then the one that is not stands still, and is also in motion.
That seems to be true.
But if it be in motion, it must necessarily undergo alteration, for anything which is moved, in so far as it is moved, is it no longer in the same state, but in another.
Yes.
Then the one, being moved, is altered.
Yes.
And further, if not moved in any way, it will not be altered in any way.
No.
Then, in so far as the one that is not is moved, it is altered. In so far as it is not moved, it is not altered.
Right.
Then the one that is not is altered, and is not altered.
That is clear.
And must not that which is altered become other than it previously was, and lose its former state, and be destroyed? But that which is not altered can neither come into being nor be destroyed.
Very true.
And the one that is not, being altered, becomes, and is destroyed, and not being altered, neither becomes, nor is destroyed, and so the one that is not becomes, and is destroyed, and neither becomes, nor is destroyed.
True.
And now, let us go back once more to the beginning, and see whether these or some other consequences will follow.
Let us do as you say.
If one is not, we ask what will happen in respect of one. That is the question.
Yes.
Do not the words "is not" signify absence of being in that to which we apply them?
Just so.
And when we say that a thing is not, do we mean that it is not in one way, but is in another? Or do we mean, absolutely, that what is not has in no sort or way or kind participation of being?
Quite absolutely.
Then, that which is not cannot be, or in any way participate in being.
It cannot.
And did we not mean by becoming and being destroyed the assumption of being and the loss of being?
Nothing else.
And can that which has no participation in being either assume or lose being?
Impossible.
The one then, since it in no way is, cannot have or lose or assume being in any way.
True.
Then the one that is not, since it in no way partakes of being, neither perishes nor becomes.
No.
Then it is not altered at all, for if it were, it would become and be destroyed.
True.
But if it be not altered, it cannot be moved?
Certainly not.
Nor can we say that it stands, if it is nowhere, for that which stands must always be in one and the same spot.
Of course.
Then we must say that the one which is not never stands still and never moves.
Neither.
Nor is there any existing thing which can be attributed to it, for if there had been, it would partake of being.
That is clear.
And therefore neither smallness, nor greatness, nor equality can be attributed to it.
No.
Nor yet likeness nor difference, either in relation to itself or to others.
Clearly not.
Well, and if nothing should be attributed to it, can other things be attributed to it?
Certainly not.
And therefore other things can neither be like or unlike, the same, or different in relation to it.
They cannot.
Nor can what is not be anything, or be this thing, or be related to, or the attribute of this or that or other, or be past, present, or future. Nor can knowledge, or opinion, or perception, or expression, or name, or any other thing, that is, have any concern with it.
No.
Then the one that is not has no condition of any kind.
Such appears to be the conclusion.
Yet once more, if one is not, what becomes of the others? Let us determine that.
Yes, let us determine that.
The others must surely be. For if they, like the one, were not, we could not be now speaking of them.
True.
But to speak of the others implies difference. The terms other and different are synonymous.
True.
Other means other than other, and different, different from the different.
Yes.
Then, if there are to be others, there is something than which they will be other.
Certainly.
And what can that be? For if the one is not, they will not be other than the one.
They will not.
Then they will be other than each other, for the only remaining alternative is that they are other than nothing.
True.
and they are each other that one another, as being plural, and not singular, for if one is not, they cannot be singular, but every particle of them is infinite in number, and even if a person takes that which appears to be the smallest fraction, this, which seemed one, in a moment evanesces into many, as in a dream, and from being the smallest becomes very great, in comparison with the fractions into which it is split up.
Very true.
And in such particles the others will be other than one another, if others are, and the one is not.
Exactly.
And will there not be many particles, each appearing to be one, but not being one, if one is not?
True.
And it would seem that number can be predicated of them if each of them appears to be one, though it is really many.
It can.
And there will seem to be odd, and even among them, which will also have no reality, if one is not.
Yes.
And there will appear to be a least among them, and even this will seem large and manifold in comparison with the many small fractions which are contained in it.
Certainly.
And each particle will be imagined to be equal to the many and little, for it could not have appeared to pass from the greater to the less without having appeared to arrive at the middle, and thus would arise the appearance of equality.
Yes.
And having neither beginning, middle, nor end, each separate particle yet appears to have a limit in relation to itself and other.
How so?
Because, when a person conceives of any one of these as such, prior to the beginning another beginning appears, and there is another end, remaining after the end, and in the middle truer middles within but smaller, because no unity can be conceived of any of them, since the one is not.
Very true.
And so all being, whatever we think of, must be broken up into fractions, for a particle will have to be conceived of without unity.
Certainly.
And such being, when seen indistinctly, and at a distance, appears to be one. But when seen near and with keen intellect, every single thing appears to be infinite, since it is deprived of the one, which is not.
Nothing more certain.
Then each of the others must appear to be infinite and finite, and one and many, if others than the one exist, and not the one.
They must.
Then will they not appear to be like and unlike?
In what way?
Just as in a picture things appear to be all one to a person standing at a distance, and to be in the same state, and alike.
True.
But when you approach them, they appear to be many and different, and because of the appearance of the difference, different in kind from, and unlike, themselves.
True.
And so must the particles appear to be like, and unlike themselves and each other.
Certainly.
And must they not be the same and yet different from one another, and in contact with themselves, although they are separated, and having every sort of motion, and every sort of rest, and becoming, and being destroyed, and in neither state, and the like, all which things may be easily enumerated, if the one is not, and the many are.
Most true.
Once more, let us go back to the beginning, and ask if the one is not, and the others of the one are, what will follow. Let us ask that question, in the first place, the others will not be one.
Impossible.
Nor will they be many, for if they were many one would be contained in them, but, if no one of them is one, all of them are not, and therefore they will not be many.
True.
If there be no one in the others are neither many, nor one.
They are not.
Nor do they appear either, as one nor many.
Why not?
Because the others have no sort or manner or way of communion with any sort of not being, nor can anything which is not be connected with any of the others, for that which is not has no parts.
True.
Nor is there an opinion nor any appearance of not being in connection with the others, nor is not being ever in any way attributed to the others.
No.
Then if one is not, there is no conception of any of the others either, as one nor many, for you cannot conceive the many without the one.
You cannot.
Then if one is not, the others neither are, nor can be conceived to be either one nor many.
It would seem not.
Nor as like or unlike.
No.
Nor as the same or different, nor in contact or separation, nor in any of those states which we enumerated as appearing to be. The others neither are, nor appear to be any of these, if one is not.
True.
Then may we not sum up the argument in a word, and say truly, if one is not, then nothing is?
Certainly.
Let thus much be said, and further let us affirm what seems to be the truth, that, whether one is, or is not, one, and the others in relation to themselves, and one another, all of them, in every way, are, and are not, and appear to be and appear not to be.
Most true.